listening to the Northside Christian Church Sermon Podcast. These teachings are recorded at our weekly Sunday morning gatherings in Springfield, Missouri. For more about our church, service times, and how to connect, visit northsidechristianchurch.net.
Praise the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Good morning, Northside. Yeah, welcome back to the building. And those joining online, welcome to you as well. But if you don't know who I am, my name is Garrett Hawley. I get to be the middle school minister here, working with 5th through 8th grade. And a special shout out that makes it possible for me to be here this morning is Annie Denny is running the middle for me today. So if you see her, tell her thank you. But for some reason, they allowed me to come back out here today and do it again after first service. So here I am, and we're going to go. But for those wondering why we haven't taken communion yet, we will later on during the service in just a little bit. So I know several of you in the room like to do things in the same order every time. And I'm a middle school minister, so my number one rule is to be flexible. Okay, so everyone, thank you for being flexible with me today. We're going to take communion, I promise. But first, if you have your Bible, I'd like you to open up to Psalm 103. That's where we'll be spending most of our time, not all of our time, but most of our time is in Psalm 103. So if you open your Bible to the exact middle, you'll probably land somewhere close. I'd like to begin today with a personal story, and I know a lot of you probably know parts of the story or most of the story. My family has been lucky enough to go to Northside since 1996. So for 6 years, I lived in Joplin, but every other time of my life, I've gone to Northside, and I am so grateful for that, so grateful for our church family this past year, and my family's life, as I'll talk about in a little bit. But I want you to also know this is not just my story to tell. This is my mother's story and my family's story. So understand, today you're just getting my perspective. If I say something that they're like, that's not true, then that's their truth too. Okay? So, but let's back up just over a year ago, March 1st, 2023. I was in a season of life where I was about to turn 30, which if you're 29, turning 30 is one foot in the grave. I mean, that is, it's the end all be all, at least for me it was. So I was feeling very introspective. I had been journaling a lot, setting goals for the new decade, and, you know, what did I love about my 20s, all these different things. Really overthinking the whole thing. But March 1st was a Wednesday, and it felt normal. My mom had a doctor's appointment that morning, so I was working from my parents' house so I could stay with my sister while my dad was at work. And it just felt like a regular day. And then that doctor appointment, it led to another doctor appointment that day. And then another doctor appointment that afternoon for some testing. And that day ended with eventually us admitting my mom to the hospital around 11 p.m., essentially, what had happened was my mother's liver had stopped functioning. And the dreaded word cancer, it came back into our lives, as I know it's been in many of yours as well. Moments of that day that stick out to me a year later as I was reflecting was sitting next to my mom in their computer room while she opened the test, and we saw this word that said cholangiocarcinoma, and having to learn what that means. Calling my brother and sister-in-law in my car before I walked mom into the hospital and telling them what had happened and seeing their reaction as they were overseas. Driving home that night after getting my mom settled and she said, go, I'm fine. Driving home and just feeling like, was today even real? Feeling like I was numb and just falling into a pit of my own sadness and grief, but also not understanding. Later that week, we'd almost lose my mom to some internal bleeding, and praise God for a really great ICU nurse that saved her life and saw that. But 10 days later, mom would come home, and she'd be looking weak, and she'd feel half dead, she'll tell you. And, oh, by the way, I turned 30. It couldn't have mattered less. But over the next few months, we'd come to understand that my mom has bile duct cancer. And it was keeping her liver from filtering out the toxins in her blood. And thankfully, we were able to get into Barnes Hospital System in St. Louis, and they were able to restore her liver function through some stents in her bile ducts. And she started doing chemo treatments that we know will not cure the cancer, but will give her more time. And so it's giving us as much time as possible. I'd end up moving out of my house that fall because Mom could no longer be the main caretaker for Galia with those stents. And so my sister, Galia, sorry. And I was able to step in and take on part of that role alongside my dad. And I know our family's not alone in this difficult year. Being on staff, I have the honor of seeing prayer requests come through and praying over your guys' families when you're going through rough things. So I know some of you understand all too well the feeling I'm feeling and that I still feel. And some of you have lost your people this year or multiple people this year or feel grief very strongly today. Some of you are in the middle of hardship right now. Some of you see hardship coming your way. And I want to know that, I want you to know I'm sorry that you're with me. I wish you weren't. Some of you, it's okay if you're in a good season. You don't have to hide today. You're allowed to be here. It's okay to be joyful. I wish I was there with you. I will be someday again. But no matter where you find yourself this morning, I hope when we leave here today, all of us understand that Psalm 103 is for you, wherever you are in life's ups and downs. Psalm 103 is a poem. Like all psalms, it's a bit of poetry, okay? And I know some of you in this room, because I can see some faces, have an allergic reaction to the word poetry, okay? I know, I see it. And I just invite you today to understand that the problem with poetry, that's really a you problem. It's not a poetry problem. Poetry has always existed. It will always exist. Poetry is around us all day, every day. If you listen to music at all with words in it, you're listening to poetry, okay? If you sing songs with us on Sunday mornings, guess what? You're an active part of the poetry of this community. So if you find yourself thinking today, and I understand the instinct that poetry is fine for other people, but not me, I'm over that, or it's not for me, I invite you to get over yourself, okay? Because the truth is, how God designed us, the part of the beauty for his humans, is our ability to express our unseen truth and unphysical feelings with our words and songs. And we don't get to excuse ourselves from that part of humanity. A couple of poets said it this way. Robert Frost once said that poetry is a way of taking life by the throat. So whether we acknowledge them or not, we are filled with emotions and reactions to life, and this is a way of taking it by the throat and not letting it control you. Maya Angelou said, "Poetry helps my soul escape its encasement." So poetry is not some foo-foo, artsy-fartsy thing that only angry women and unmasculine men have to care about. No. It is something that helps us grasp hold of life, deeply express truth and unphysical feelings inside of us so that it can break out of our souls and we can survive. And if that's still not enough to convince you that poetry is important, I get it. But you need to understand that about a third of the Bible is written in poetic genre. So if you want to be like Jesus and you want to understand God's word, you have to embrace your inner poet. Jesus knew all the poems of the Old Testament by heart. Psalms, like Psalm 103, they give us words to express what is transpiring in our heads and in our hearts. It helps us to unburden our souls with words that are true but not necessarily factual, and to give us a place to put both sorrow and joy that we encounter in this life. So life is more than just information, it's experience. So we need poetry. How we can't use the Psalms is as trite Christianese sayings that we just regurgitate at people when we don't really know what to say. Instead, we need to treat them as honest, holy, and heartrending prayers. They can help us not be swallowed up by life and its hardships, or to lose sight of truth in our moments of great joy and happiness. So poetry, like Psalm 103, it invites us to experience and then look through that experience through the practice of remembering. Now, hopefully you've been listening to our messages in this series of Live No Lies, and you'll remember Alan and Wayne, they're giving you principles and practices to go through as we walk through life, like the reframing principle or the rejoice principle. And I think this practice of remembering, that can easily fit into those. So how do we look through this life, not just at it? Psalm 103 calls it not forgetting. And it begins with these five verses. So this is Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5, if you want to follow along with me. It says, "Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." See, in the psalm, David, who's the author, is talking to his own soul. He's talking to himself. To forget not God's benefits. And can I just be honest with you? A year ago in March and several times this year, when I was talking to my own soul, my first instinct was not, "Praise the Lord," like Psalm 103 tells us to. I mean, luckily, God gave us 150 psalms, so lots of poetry that we could use. And maybe these lines would have felt more appropriate last year or this year. Psalm 6:3 says, "My soul is in deep anguish. How long, Lord, how long?" Or Psalm 42:3, "My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?'" Or maybe Psalm 102:4, "My heart is blighted and withered like grass. I forget to eat my food." See, these lines, those lines I could identify with last March. And that's why we can't just excuse ourselves from all poetry, because in our weakest and most difficult moments, we need these words. Jesus, our ultimate example of how to live and move and breathe, knew the Psalms by heart. And in his most painful and difficult moment, being crushed and bled out and crucified on a cross, what does he do? He starts to recite poetry as a prayer from Psalm 22. You guys know it. My God, why have you forsaken me?" And Jesus knew the best way to express the horrible experience that he endured was through the words of a poet, David, the same poet that gives us Psalm 103. His broken body, his blood being poured out, and what comes to Jesus' mind? The Psalms. So there's nothing unmanly or elitist about being crucified. And Jesus' example in this moment of anguish is to recite poetry. So I think it's only fitting that since we're walking through the Psalms today, we're in the Old Testament, it's not easy to always draw a connection to Jesus. We're going to stop right now and remember Jesus specifically through communion. So if you'll grab your communion today, I'm going to take you through communion like you're a middle schooler. Okay? So I know it's not the same, but I'm in charge right now, okay? And I'm going to take it the way we practice it every Sunday over in the middle. So grab your communion, go ahead and unwrap the bread that's in it, and then stop touching that part so you stop making noise. I say that every Sunday. So I want you to know that before kids come to me in the middle, Tiffany Bloom, who you, every time you see, you should just jump up and applaud, by the way. She's amazing. She makes my job so much easier. By the time they get to me, they are so smart, okay? They're crazier, but they're smart, all right? And what happens in the middle, though, is their brains physically start changing. I tell the kids all the time, they have mushy brains. Their brains are changing so much, which means they're thinking about things differently for the first time. They can think critically or think in the future tense and what consequences might be before they actually say things. And they're starting to question things, right? So when we take communion, we need to understand not just how we take it, but why are we taking it? And so they unwrap their little piece of bread. And I say this, when Jesus was with his disciples in the upper room the night before he was crucified, they were eating a meal together. It was the Passover meal. And Jesus took the bread and he broke it. And we all break the bread together. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Take this in remembrance of me." So let's do that together now. Then you can open your cup. And then hold it in one hand. So you stop making noise. And then he took a cup and he lifted it up saying, "This is my blood poured out for you. Take this in remembrance of me." Let's take the juice today to remember Jesus' blood given for us now. And then almost every week we talk about the three C's of communion that come from Ethan Scott. Because I stole it. And it's that communion is a time when we remember our commitment to Christ and our community. And we talk about that. And they can tell me that. Every week they tell me it's commitment to Christ and community. And we practice remembering each week so that we can be filled and motivated, be sent out into the world after church. But before we move on, we always pray. So will you bow your heads with me and we'll pray and thank Jesus for his sacrifice. Father, we pause now. We stop everything else we're doing and we just want to remember your sacrifice and your victory over death on the cross. And the only reason we're gathered here today is because of what you have done. So as we take a moment to reflect on what you'd ask of us this week, wherever we are in life, whatever's pressing on us or pushing us along, we want to thank you for Jesus. We reflect on the past week in the ways we've either honored you or the ways we have not honored you. So help us to be like you this coming week and season. As we learn from your poets that you memorized and recited on your in your life on earth, we echo the ending of the poem you began of Psalm 22. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of nations will bow down before him, for dominion belongs to the Lord. He rules over the nations. Lord, may you rule in our hearts and our minds and our actions as your kingdom rules here now on earth. Amen. Thank you for taking communion with me. Don't worry, I'm only here this week, okay? Wayne comes back. You can go back to however you guys do it over here on a normal Sunday. But I want us to really quick, before we move on totally, just to notice the end of the psalm Jesus quotes on the cross. It ends in the praise of God. Psalm 22 starts with the cry of being forsaken, forgotten. And then it goes into verse 27 to say, all the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord. All the families of nations will bow down before him, for dominion belongs to the Lord and he rules over the nations. So Jesus used Psalm 22 to express the experience he was in, knowing full well that to finish the poem would end with him praising God. He is literally in that moment being forgotten by God. The Father turns his face away. And yet Jesus' honest outcry still points us to a future where he's ruling over all. So even in the midst of being forsaken and feeling that with his whole self, he starts a poem that in the end remembers what will be. In a similar situation, we have Psalm 103. It's a different order, though. We remember both God's benefits as it starts out, as well as admit to what we experience in this life. The very middle of this psalm acknowledges the truth about our human lives, a truth God is well aware of. Verses 14 through 16 say this, "For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of a mortal is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone and its place remembers it no more." So Psalm 103 may start with telling us, praise the Lord, but it's not because it's ignorant or desiring to present everything as just fine. No, the very middle of this poem is that our lives are short. We are dust. No one will remember it. But we don't praise the Lord because of positive thinking or willful ignorance. Part of remembering means feeling all the feels. It means living in reality. God is not fooled by us keeping it together. Okay? There is a lie we try to live where we feel like we can't be honest, we can't be real with certain people or even with God because we don't want to disappoint him. As if he isn't aware life is hard. The title of the series we're living in right now, is Live No Lies. And it comes from a book from my personal spiritual hero, John Mark Comer. If you are friends with me at all I do is talk about how good he is. So if you hear a lot, you listen to Wayne, and his Gen X spiritual heroes would be Carrie Newhoff and Craig Rochelle. And if you're here for more than 2 weeks, you will hear both of them quoted, okay? He quotes them like it's candy, all right? He loves Carrie Newhoff's blog, and he loves Craig Rochelle's leadership podcast, and they're both great. He should love them, but he really loves them, okay? 9 out of 10 staff meetings, you can bet we're doing something that Carrie or Craig said, okay? And it's great. But if I was in charge, we would all love John Mark Comer, okay? We would love him, all right? We would quote his sermons and his teachings and his books all the time, like I'm going to today. But he's my millennial hero. And one of the most refreshing things about John Mark Comer is he's just honest. He's incredibly intelligent, but he's honest. He doesn't worry about making everything sound nice. He just says what's going on. And he's a huge advocate of contemplation, of meditating on God's word, having a deeply rich inner spiritual life. And I wish all of us today could just sit under his teaching, but you're stuck with me, so here we go. Something he's taught me over the past few years is just that God is not fooled. He is totally aware of how I actually feel in my heart and my mind as I am. He's not aware. He's aware of what is happening. It's okay not to be whole, happy, and smiling all the time because my feelings, my reality, it doesn't change what God has done, is doing, and will do. It does not scare God away or his blessings. The lie that admitting life is hard somehow lessens the goodness or brilliance of God, it keeps us from being honest, and it keeps us from impacting the world around us. Speaking in his book, John Mark has a book called God Has a Name, which is all about when God introduces himself to his people, the Israelites, in Exodus 34. And Psalm 103, verse 8, is a direct quote from Exodus 34. John Mark reminds us that knowing the good things of God, it does not promise to avoid suffering. He says this, "When we say that God is faithful, we don't mean you'll never experience suffering. A lot of people, in particular Americans, misinterpret God's faithfulness to mean some kind of promise to give us life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So when tragedy strikes, or the economy tanks or goes south, or the child tests positive, or we don't find a spouse by the time we're 30, we think God is unfaithful." See, in Psalm 103, David, the author, he reminds us to praise God and remember his benefits. And in the same breath, he talks about life being short and we die and we're forgotten. Why? Because it's all connected in David's mind. As God's benefits and accomplishments actually allow us to accept the truth of our mortality and our impending death, and it still doesn't change his faithfulness to us. One truth does not make the other less true or unimportant in the Psalms. But the point is to remember all of it. Remember his benefits, his characteristics, what he has done, and then also remember that this life is difficult. And one doesn't do away with the other, but it helps us navigate all of it. Tim Keller said it this way, that if you want to know how to handle life in general, read Psalm 103. How do we survive this life? By remembering, by not forgetting. The past year of my life, has been the worst year of my life. I hope it is the worst year of my life at all. I've cried out to God more this year than any before. I mean, I've lost a lot of independence. I had to commit less to other things I love doing and love serving in because I just don't have the time anymore. I've felt sad more consistently this year than at any time in my life. And we're not even through it yet. My mom still has cancer, and she has to navigate that every single day. The balance of benefits of more time with us, with also the exhaustion and the side effects that come from that time-giving treatment that is chemo. Our lives are full, but there's no escaping this cloud of impending loss and grief that hangs over our lives. And you know what? The reality of this hard, difficult season we are in, it does not change one thing about God's goodness. It does not change a single thing of his benefits or how much he loves me. So please hear me. I'm not happy to be going through this. I'm not pleased with what life has thrown at us this year. I'm often devastated by it. Our family is tired. So I'm not asking you to pretend things are fine when they're not. Things aren't fine. But Psalm 103 helps me remember all of it anyway. This remembering that Psalm 103 invites us to does not negate or cover up what we live through, but it holds something else up that is just as true. What God has done and what he's going to do. Look at verses 11 and 12 in Psalm 103. It says this: "For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." And then look at verse 19. "The Lord has established his throne in heaven. His kingdom rules over all." You see, God's hands are big enough to hold the emotions and hardships of our lives and also the reality that he's already victorious. Through Psalm 103, I remember that life is hard and God is still on the throne. That the wind blows over my life and I'll be forgotten, and yet he still has removed my sin an infinite amount away from me. Psalm 103 has carried me this year. Not because it made my life easier or healed my mom's disease or gave me supernatural energy and super motivation. No. Psalm 103 has carried me by helping me remember all of it. Remember to praise God for what he's done. Remember to feel and acknowledge my humanity and feelings. And remember that the future that is coming one day is good. So much in our world today, it invites us to forget. Disease, disaster, division around us and in our families, depression, divorce, death, those are just a few. All of that and more, it seizes us by the heart and it tries to swallow us up, makes us forget. And so we have to train ourselves to respond in those difficult times by remembering. We practice remembering all of it. We still may feel like we're in a pit. I still feel like I'm in a pit. But when I remember all of it, it's like a ladder of hope gets lowered into it with me. I don't have to stay there forever. And when I can start my day contemplating 103, Psalm 103, it helps me remember. Yes, God has forgiven me. He's a compassionate father. He's abounding in love. But it also helps me to see that in real life and real time through my current circumstances. Instead of just looking at them, I can see through it. I remember he's a compassionate father because I can look at my own father, navigate all of this past year, carrying it all with a quiet grace and a kindness. I remember that God's love is abounding through moments with my mother, traveling to and from St. Louis, sitting during treatments, getting to spend time with the person who has loved me the longest and through every season of my life. I remember that he satisfies and can renew me through laughing with my sister Galia, which if you know Galia, you understand. Her laugh can lift my spirits when I feel so heavy with sadness. I remember how great is God's love for those who fear him because we were surrounded by a church family that stepped up and loved us when we were in shock. And I see God's love is everlasting in my friends that give me hugs and remind me that they're with me. They're praying for me. They're praying with me right in that moment. They do it again and again and again. God's love is everlasting. You see, when we remember, we actually start to more easily see the things we remember. So I can be honest up here today. I can share with you that I'm not happy about life. I'm in a rough season because I also can remember the love and redemption that God offers us. Because I'm remembering it, I actually can express that better to others. When we express all of what we remember in Psalm 103. We actually live out that the Lord is on his throne and has established his rule. So how do we do this? There are so many ways to practice it. For me, the easiest is to memorize Psalm 103. Start this week with the first five verses. It's not that hard. Two of them are almost exactly the same. So if you get one, you almost got two. Okay? Just three more verses after that. But if you're like, that's great, I can do that, I already have it, I've sang those my whole life. Great, do the whole psalm, 22 verses. And when life is good or bad, recite it. Remember it. Another great resource this week is if you need space to think inwardly and contemplate is to use the prayer wheel that Elijah Horton and other staff have worked really hard on to make it the most easy and enjoyable way to spend an hour of prayer. Within that hour, you'll have time to remember, to contemplate, and you can find that recording of it, and it will guide you through it on our podcast or on the church website under resources for last week, and it'll be under this week as well. It will help you intentionally spend time remembering. I honestly do not know how we can make it more accessible and enjoyable for you to spend an hour in prayer. So please take advantage of the prayer wheel. Check it out. Another way that I remember is by studying. And one of my favorite resources for understanding God's word, and specifically the context it was written in, is the Bible Project. I love the Bible Project. And when I was studying a few weeks ago for this message and studying about the Psalms, their guide for reading and teaching the Psalms, it says this: the Psalms teach us to neither ignore our pain nor let it determine the meaning of our lives. Biblical faith and prayer is always forward-looking, anticipating the day when God fulfills his promises and praising him for it ahead of time. So anticipating what God will do, or future-focused remembering what he has promised, it doesn't ask us to ignore hardship or pain. Instead, it helps shift our perspective towards things that are just as real and true, but are so much easier to forget. So we're going to end soon, and how we're going to end is we're going to just take time and practice this together as a community. We're going to just sit here, silent and still, and I'm going to read Psalm 103 over us. But before I do that, if you'd like someone to help you remember God's goodness and lift up the pain of life through prayer, our prayer team will be around the room during the worship song. Go up to them and have them pray with you. If you are interested in knowing more about Northside or learning about membership or any of those things, check out the connection card in the seat, behind the seat in front of you. Just fill that out with your name, whatever you're looking for, and put it in the offering boxes as you leave, and we'll check back in with you this week. Or if, like our baptisms this morning, you want to choose to remember Jesus with your own life, come out to Decision Point after service. I'd love to talk to you about that. But before we leave, we're just going to practice remembering. So whatever you need to do, we're going to leave here today a people who know how to practice this. So relax, sit back, take a few deep breaths. We're just slowing down. I'm going to read Psalm 103 over us. If you need to close your eyes because you struggle to focus, great. That helps me a ton. But let's remember Psalm 103 together. So just listen to these words and let's practice. Praise the Lord, my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. As a father who has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we're formed. He remembers that we are dust. The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone. And its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. So praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, my soul. Thanks for joining us this morning, Northside. Before you go, make sure you check in and let us know you were here. Text the word CHECK to 417-233-1200. If you want to respond to today's service, you can do that online through Decision Point. If you want to know more about baptism or becoming a member, you can request more info at northsidechristianchurch.net/decision. This is also the place to find out about our life groups, find out what sort of service opportunities there are, or if you just need to get in touch with a minister. And if you're online, you probably use social media too. Make sure you're following along with Northside on our Facebook page, Instagram account, YouTube channel, or Twitter. We are glad that you chose to join us this morning. As we head out for the week, let's make sure we take the love of God with us. Take good care of each other, Northside.